Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sales Intel Show, the Pipeline Pioneers, where our focus, our mission is to help B2B companies build stronger and stronger revenue pipelines, because revenue pipelines are the heart and blood of an organization. And at Sales Intel, we believe that building pipeline is a team sport. It's no longer just the responsibility of a salesperson or the marketing department or the demand gen. It truly takes a village to build a pipeline that converts into revenue. I'm excited to have Alex from Salesforce today to share his wisdom about how he generates the pipeline. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Manoj, thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Same here. So Alex, to start with, I would love for you to give a quick intro about yourself and how you contribute to Salesforce. That's a behemoth, right? Multi-billion dollar business. How do you contribute in your role to the pipeline that ultimately converts to revenue?
Yeah, absolutely. But before I do that, I would be remiss to not say this right at the very beginning for all of your listeners to really appreciate what you guys are doing here. I think it's so fantastic for you as the CEO of a growing tech company to be leading and hosting a podcast about this to help folks to better take control of their data and better, build pipeline. So I think this is amazing what you're doing. This is a fantastic concept that I hope a lot of people follow. So huge kudos to you, Manoj, and Jason, of course, for helping get all this scheduled. How do I fit into the Salesforce, pipeline building journey? I'm going to be a little bit of a unique use case from possibly a few other people that you have. So I manage a territory. My territory consists of partly existing customers and partly new logo customers. My position is more closely related to like a quarterback than like a traditional AE. Obviously, we've got thousands of SKUs that we can sell, right? And there's only so many products that I can know inside and out. So I'm essentially the main point of contact and the quarterback, essentially. And when I'm selling specialized SKUs, I've got specialists that I could bring in. When there are more of our core products, I can run the entire cycle myself. But as far as building pipeline, I have a BDR who helps me as well. But where I come into the pipeline building is going to be mostly on the existing logo side. So really building strong relationships of trust with my customers to really help them understand what's up next, what's the roadmap. And then with my new logo prospects, I'm of course getting assisted by a BDR, but even more so, I'm the one who needs to come in and have a relevant POV to start a conversation, right? Nobody's just going to take a pick your brain conversation anymore. Nobody really has time for all of that. So that in a nutshell is how I fit into the big picture.
That's awesome. That's great. So you have responsibility of the existing business. There also you're building the pipeline to upsell. So that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Alex, last year was tough, you know, for a lot of companies, right? Pipeline generation was hard. Conversion was hard. You know, lots of companies missed their numbers. And now we can just learn from some of the mistakes that we made and the macroeconomic headwinds where we didn't have much of a control. So if you look back, is there one thing that comes to mind to say, you know what, I made this mistake or our company made this mistake and here's a lesson learned from that?
Yeah, I think one of the major lessons that I personally learned is the value of both intent data and the living, breathing organism that is a company, right? Like companies don't stay the same, right? Each month, each week, companies change, right? People leave jobs, people get promoted, people change jobs, right? Companies restructure, unfortunately. So one of the huge things that I learned is to really be on top of those organizational changes before you're going in and having a conversation, right? So if I have a champion that I'm working with, that champion gets promoted, they're no longer with the company, whatever the case may be. Not only do I need to find, you know, where did that person go, what happened, but even more importantly, who's now my new champion, right? And all of that time that I'm spending on finding who's the new champion is time that I could be doing other more productive activities. So to really be tracking those folks and knowing who to replace them with is critical. And my one thing that I am so bullish on for 2024 and beyond is intent data, right? Like, as much as we as salespeople, AEs, revenue leaders, BDRs, whoever it is you are, we want to think that we have such a huge impact on the sales process, and we do, but I don't think anybody really wants to acknowledge how big of a factor timing is. Right. And with intent data, you can make sure that you're capturing those timing deals, right? Like those deals where maybe a product SKU was sunsetted and now they need a replacement. Maybe they've got some initiative from their board that, hey, we need to do this ASAP, right? Those need to be the deals that you're focusing on now. And so that's where intent data comes in big time.
Did you not have intent data in 2023?
We did, but I think it's not only having the right piece of intent data points, but also how to use those pieces of intent data. So we do have intent data. And the first thing I do every morning when I start work is I check my intent data dashboard. And those are the first people who I reach out to every day, whether it's multiple email opens, whether it's, hey, I saw you were on the website, I saw you downloaded some marketing material, like whatever it is. Those are the first people who I want to talk to every day. It's the classic strike while the iron's hot, and it couldn't be more true in 2024.
Right. So you're looking at both first party intent, which is visitors coming on your website, and the third party intent coming from, like, we have at Sales Intel, you know, Bambora intent data, which is part of our platform, and we have Sales Intel predictive intent, right, that we generate on our own. And that's awesome. So 2024 is a new year, right? We have new budgets, new initiatives. Is there an experiment that, other than intent data, is there an experiment of pipeline generation that you're excited about?
Yeah, so this is actually an interesting one, because one of my teammates out of the Irvine office, he's on Pat Lee right now, but shout out to Weston. He actually took it upon himself to do a webinar and to invite existing customers, new logos, to talk about AI. And it was a, you know, six-figure pipeline generation for the team. A lot of people closed deals from that event. And I mean, you talk about intent data. If somebody wants to learn about a specific topic, that's some of the strongest intent data that you can get. So that's something that I would like to tackle at some point this year as well. Obviously, it's a little bit of a big undertaking, so it might be, you know, like an on the roadmap type of project. But that's something that I'm really, really bought into. This isn't new for me, but I mean, if you're not on the community bandwagon, 100%. I'm not going to say it's too late. But I mean, community has, I don't want to say it's gone from a nice to have to a must have. Community is a must have. Like, there is no option to not have community 2024 and beyond. So I would say those would be my two things, you know, is taking on more of like a thought leadership role inside of Salesforce and doing some of that demand generation, like you said, and just, you know, the good old fashioned community.
You know, that makes two of us. We are doubling down on the community. We are doubling down on the thought leadership. And this is this podcast, this show, this series is you know, an initiative in that direction. So, you know what? I would love to shift the gears and have a working exercise with you. How many of you can see the screen?
Yep, you're good.
Okay, perfect. Alex, pipeline is generated in different ways, right? Through sales, through marketing, through thought leadership, we just discussed, through communities, through events, right? We are all limited budgets, right? The art here is to figure out, where do we place these bets? So we're going to have this little working exercise, little game here, where you have 100 pennies. Each coin here is worth 10 pennies. And here are different mediums, right? Different channels through which you generate, which we all generate pipeline, right? So if you had Salesforce 100 pennies to generate the most optimal pipeline, where will you place your bets?
I'm like, I'm smiling ear to ear. I think this is such a fun exercise. I host a podcast myself. I am probably going to find some way to add some sort of gamification in, because I think this is such a fun idea. I doubt any two people are going to use their allocation exactly the same. Yep. And sparks both really interesting thoughts and really interesting conversation. So with that being said, I actually had to do some prep for this in advance, because I really wanted to make sure that I gave you my best foot forward here. Yep. Here's my spend. My spend is going to be 40 in community, I'm
all in
I'm
this
all
year
in
on
on
community,
community.
right?
I'm all in on community. I'm
Perfect.
all
Love
in on
it.
community. I'm going 10 on paid channels.
So 10 on page, which is marketing.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going 10 on event led.
I think that
micro events,
yeah,
particularly are, if I was running a company, and I know that we do this at Salesforce as well, I would be very heavily pushing on micro events. I think that's where a lot of fantastic relationships are being built right now. I would go for 30 on referral.
30 on referral, which is your customer or partnership, because referrals come from partnerships as well as from customers.
Okay. So then let's separate that. Let's do 20 in customer.
Yeah, so you'll have 20 in customers.
And then let's go 10 in sales and 10 in partnership.
Okay, 10 in sales and 10 in partnerships. Let's see, 10 in partnerships.
Now all we got to do is get the budget approved by the board.
Here we go. Alex, you had interesting take on these different channels, and I see you missed on product. Can you tell a little bit about why not? Because Salesforce has a big product, right?
that could be said for sure. I mean, this is. I mean, look, first and foremost, I'm a sales guy.
Yep.
So, I'm always going to lean on what I know best. I think really the thinking in all of this is that I think everything starts from the root of community, right? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, like the product in some sense of the word can sell itself, but like it's really the community that brings together that camaraderie, right? That organic word of mouth. And I think it just feeds to all of these other categories that are currently empty, right? Like if you have a vibrant community, people are going to know about your product, right? And people are going to know what your product does. If you have a vibrant community, people are going to know about your brand and what your brand stands for. Founder led, obviously I'm talking to a founder right here, so I don't want this to come off the wrong way. But the founder is like the leader of the ship, if you will. Like the more I think, at least it is that the founder can almost kind of like separate themselves from the business in a sense and let the community be the hero, if you will. That's what I'm super bullish on. So I don't want to make it seem that I don't value these three things that are currently empty. I just think when community is done right, it fuels
Perfect.
those other three things as a byproduct.
Perfect. Love it. Love the way you're thinking. So now let's look at the industry benchmark, right? This is how industry, when I put everybody that is that I've talked to last year as well as this year, where do they make their investment or where have they made their investments? This
yep.
is how their 100 pennies are. And now let's just go ahead and overlay, Alex, your pennies, right? So blue is the community, orange is you. Is there anything here that surprises you?
I think this is fun because a lot of this is open to interpretation. So, I mean, obviously I'm a salesperson and I want to see sales led, but again, like I think when you do community right, like you can kind of virtually drive yourself an inbound business, you can kind of drive yourself an inbound business almost and just have so much like pent up demand, if you will. So I think like all of these things are fantastic, but I think when you do community right, it feeds all of these other things, right? It almost just kind of water flows into all of these things. So I'm a little bit surprised that more people that community led wasn't at least up to 10 on mm-hmm. average. I think that's my biggest shock between, the partner, the customer led and the community led. I'm a little bit surprised that those aren't higher, but outside of that, I think it's looking pretty expected.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Alex, I would love to chat with you, 6 to 9 months from now and see how your initiatives this year have panned out. I'm confident you're going to do well. Salesforce is going to do well. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure our audience here are going to benefit from the wisdom that you have provided, the best practices that you have provided around building community.
Thanks so much for having me, Manoj. Had a blast. This is such a great idea. I'm excited to see where the podcast is at in those 6 to 9 months as well.
No, thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.